Hello, and welcome to the Games Like Podcast, episode 141. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And this week, I'm sick.
Yeah.
Past 2 weeks. Remember, we didn't record last week.
Well, for this episode, I'm sick.
Okay, there you go.
So those of you who look forward to my keen baritone every year, sorry. Or every week. Oh, God.
Yeah, you're out of it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and just jump in with the most recent game I've been playing, which I'm pretty sure they made it in order to test whether or not you can have a heart attack easily. Dead Space 3. That game has made me jump quite a few times.
Are things like just popping out at you, or?
Well, there's a lot of the enemies sometimes will come from vents. I'm going to give this example here because I actually cursed at him on Twitter about this one. A lot of things come from vents, so I started watching a lot of the vents as I walked into rooms, especially if it's been a while since I've seen an enemy. So I'm going through this ship, it's like, okay, enemy. 3 rooms later, I haven't run into anything else. So I enter this, I climb up this ladder, and I see this vent in this one room, so I'm backing up slowly away from the vent just in case anything pops up, and then this loud blurring noise comes from behind me, so I flip around real quick and see a pinball machine. That activated as a, that is set to activate when you walk so close to it.
So, did you then turn around to face a enemy?
Nope. Nothing else popped into that room.
That would have been more amusing. Ah, pinball machine! Ah!
That would have been entertaining, but I think they figured trying to screw with you once enough in a room is good enough. And then later on, you take in the same kind of ship, because you do multiple ships in this game instead of just one area. I went down in order to try and get a tram to work, and then when I went to go back up, there was a necromorph sitting in the elevator waiting for me.
It wants to be your friend.
It wants to eat me. Actually, it doesn't even want to eat me. It just wants to kill me so then it can reproduce using my body. For those of you who don't know what a necromorph is, basically they are these strange little creatures that find a corpse, infest it, and that's how they create more of themselves.
Yay!
It also means that if you find a derelict spaceship that has been sitting for 200 plus years just kind of in orbit with no signs of life, that doesn't mean it's empty.
It's just like tractoring it and throwing it into a sun, a viable option?
Not for the story.
Would it kill the necromorphs?
Yes. But by that point, I had lost my ship, and if I did that, I would have been throwing myself into the sun.
Right.
And I'm going to assume Planetfall wouldn't have been an option either, because I'm pretty sure they would survive that.
Yeah.
Especially the ones that can regenerate. That's where I left off on the ones that could regenerate.
Yay!
Yeah, I wasn't too happy about that. It's like, I don't think the main character, because it's like, he watches it, you know, pull its limbs off to get out of this containment thing, and then he sees it starts growing back, he's like, crap, guys! These ones are regenerating! Well, then how are you going to kill it? I'm not going to! And then I started running. But I am enjoying the game. One thing they changed from the first two games that I actually really like, some people may complain about it, but I really like, is you don't have individual ammo for different weapons. Before, each weapon had its own specific ammo that you would have to carry around for it. Now you have one type of ammo that works for all weapons. And since you have limited inventory space, that's really nice. You still have the GUI interface that they gave you is still the same, where it just kind of projects from the kite character, so if you had a bad camera angle, you can't see it because it's off at a bad angle. But you don't run into that too often unless you're, you know, purposely looking into a wall and then try to pull up your inventory. Which makes sense, because basically, for those, again, who have never played the game, the way the inventory screens or any sort of communication with your character comes up is it comes up as like a floating screen directly in front of your character projected by their suit. And the health and everything is on your back. So, I mean, I really have always liked how Dead Space did their GUI interface because it seems more immersive.
This bars and tracking all over in the corners and stuff lets you know that you are in the game because, look, you have your HUD displays.
Exactly. Yeah, and so far I'm enjoying the story. It does seem like they're aiming to wrap up the series with this story. I'll see if they actually end up doing that, because I don't have faith in them to want to give up a cash cow like this. I mean, I guess they could do an origin story like they're doing with Gears of War. But still, I'm I guess I don't have a whole lot to talk about. I thought I had more to say about this. I need to plan my stuff out better. But it's a fun game. I'm enjoying it. I need to take some time. I need to find somebody to play some co-op with me so I can experience that portion of it. And once I have, I'll be sure to let you know in a half-hearted talk like this one was. And moving on, you guys have been watching OG Doctor Who, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Original. Well, Netflix recently has kind of...
They condensed it all. They had it, but it was spread out, and you had to basically know the name of the serial to pull it up.
But now they have it all into, like, sort of, like, original Doctor Who, and it kind of does, like, different, like... Back in the day, it was, like, arcs. Like, they were, like, 20, 25-minute sort of episodes, but there would be, like, 4 or 5 episodes for a particular story arc. So, the first one, of course, is with the first guy who portrayed the Doctor, William Hartnell.
Yeah.
And it's with the Aztecs. And it's 4 episodes, black and white. And you can kind of see some of the eccentricities that the Doctor sort of had even then that's kind of extrapolated through the ages. But you can also see how it was more of the education show because they were trying to be, I think, faithful to how the Aztec culture and costume and that sort of stuff would have been. And I also learned about pulleys. Because the Doctor doesn't have no sonic screwdriver, so he has to make a pulley to get them back to where the TARDIS is, because they got trapped inside a tomb and pushed open this one-way moving, you know, like, stone panel, basically. But it was really hokey, at least I felt. You're like, it's one of those things you're like, I'm surprised it survived. It must have gotten better. But this is only one episode from that particular first year.
Yeah, and it's in the middle somewhere. It is not the first episode, or the first serial of the Doctor. So.
Yeah, and there's, you know, he has 3 companions. There's a woman, a guy, and a young girl who keeps calling him Grandpa. So I was like, is she also Gallifreyan, or is she human, or who knows? And then we started watching...
The second Doctor. Patrick Troughton.
Okay, so I'm glad you can remember their names. It's called... What is it called?
The Mind Stealers.
You're getting his 2 companions, but one of them, the guy, he's from Scotland. And then the girl, we think, is actually from another alien planet. We don't think she's human, because...
Well, we're not sure. Or she's a human from the future.
Because her city does not look like anything that currently exists or has existed on Earth.
Well, and then there was her, like, sequin jumpsuit.
Yeah.
To kind of clue in that, I'm from the future!
But it was all black and white still, so the sequins kind of, I think, helps.
How everything in, like, the 60s and 70s, everybody in the future wore silver jumpsuits.
Yeah, but the guy from Scotland's actually wearing a kilt.
Cool.
And, you know, something basically tricks him to come outside of the TARDIS, at least in the first episode, and he imagines he sees that the hills and lochs of Scotland and hearing bagpipe music, and he's like, it's Scotland out there! I want to go out! And they're like, no! And then the girl watches it, and it's like her hometown from where she's from, and then she ends up going out, and then he ends up going after her, you know, find her, and the Doctor stays in the TARDIS, he's like, no, can't go out. Must fend off whatever is attacking our minds, and that's all we've gotten through so far.
Well, the way they end up getting there is they were, from wherever they were left off of the previous serial, that lava was flowing down and flowing over the TARDIS. And so they're like, well, there's this one thing I could do, but I don't know if we should do it. It's, you know, for emergencies only, and we end up in the space between dimensions.
And they're like, well... They think lava constituted an emergency.
I would say that would constitute an emergency. Like, if this isn't an emergency, what do you constitute as an emergency?
And they're like, when the Doctor's like, oh, we should be okay. He's like, can the TARDIS survive lava? He's like, maybe. I don't know for certain. But the TARDIS has always made the little funny noise. Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. And it's always had a little metal section that goes up and down.
Cool.
It has always had, like, the music. It's just that it's really funny in the first season.
It was made by looping, basically striking individual piano strings and basically looping that to make the bum 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 bit.
Nice.
And then I think it's a...
Theremin.
I assume it's a theremin for the woo-woo.
Yeah. But it's not, like, at the right speed or something. Like, it kind of goes faster and slower and weird sort of
undulations. The theremin is kind of hard. It's not a very precise instrument in some ways.
Well, not that. It's, like, the beat. The beat's a little funny. It's, like, not steady. Hmm. But, yeah, I guess they're still kind of, you know, they're kind of hokey still. We haven't seen anything yet that's, you know, like, we really wish they had the one with the Daleks on there. Like, the first encounter with the Daleks, which is, like, in season one or two or something.
It was a second serial. They basically, like...
Oh, they were like...
Or it was very early. It was, basically, they started off and became very popular. Like, okay, let's make another one. And then it's like, okay, what scripts do we have ready? We got this one. And they're like, oh, we don't want to do that. It has, you know, bug-eyed monsters and sci-fi. And this is not supposed to be that kind of show. And...
It became that kind of show. Well, I know there's issues with watching all episodes of Doctor Who because BBC doesn't have all the episodes of Doctor Who. Yeah.
I have recently heard, though, that some of the ones that were missing have been found again.
Yeah, they basically offered a prize of a life-size Dalek prop.
Nice.
To whoever could find one, I think, particular serial. Someone in, I think it was Australia, found it. And they're like, oh, I had no idea the BBC didn't have this.
All I know is the person bought some tapes or something at a garage sale.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah, they had bought tapes from a BBC garage sale or something like that, and they just assumed they had copies of these. Which I kind of would have assumed that, too.
Yeah, so they have a lot. So it would be interesting to see if they could at least maybe stream some more, or if they can go and re-release stuff, but depending on the level, you know, of quality of film, they might have to clean stuff up. Or, you know, archive it in, you know, a certain manner. So we'll have to wait and see. You can buy a few more at the store. I have seen, I think, the Daleks.
Yeah, that is an episode that exists.
I think one of the ones that people can't, that if you can find it and watch it, it's very, very rare. It's the one where the first Doctor becomes the second Doctor.
I think some of the only surviving footage of the regeneration is from another TV show.
Yeah.
That they're just like, just, you know, talking about it on or something. And it happened to be basically preserved through this other show. Just like the regeneration scene. It's like, okay.
Yeah. So if you have Netflix, you can watch them all on there. Just type in Doctor Who and you'll get current season stuff and the old school stuff. There's like, what, 50 some
episodes?
There's a lot.
There's not very much of the first three Doctors. It seems like there's only maybe one serial each or something. But then once you get on to...
Doctor Four.
Yeah, which is...
Scarf Doctor!
I'm trying to remember his name.
Scarf Doctor! I can never remember the actor's name. I just remember the scarf. He's the one I remember watching on PBS once in a while. And I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, pretty much whenever they were showing reruns on PBS, it was always the fourth Doctor.
There we go. Fourth Doctor...
Tom Baker.
Yeah, Baker, that's it.
Seven consecutive seasons.
Yeah, he was the longest running Doctor.
From 1974 for part one of Robot to March 21st of 1981.
He was acting way before I was even born. For any of us were born. Appearances, 41 stories for 172 episodes. He's the one where Sarah Jane Smith is his companion.
Ah!
And K-9.
And K-9.
Sarah Jane Smith. Harry Sullivan, Leela, K-9, Romana, Adric, Nisa, and Tegan Jovanka were all his companions. People may give Wikipedia crap, but it is usually pretty dead on for TV series.
Wikipedia is my go-to, and I just want to have an overview of some sort of source. I'm sorry, because I'm like...
Yeah, I'm always like, well, according to Wikipedia, really? You know, for the record, it may not be perfect, but I want to see how fast you can find this information. Anywho,
it's crowdsourcing information. We just gotta make sure it's accurate.
That's why they forbid the Church of Scientology from making edits to their page. True story. So moving on. At least I'm gonna move on. Are you guys ready to move on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're gonna go ahead and probably talk about Guild Wars 2 a bit because, well, it's what we play most right now.
So I have time. I can only have time for one thing, so it's Guild Wars.
I recently finally got my ninth slot skill unlocked, so I gave that to a spell called Summon Fiery Greatsword, which I don't know if you guys play with any Elementalists very often.
I haven't played the Elementalist class yet.
They have a few. Of their slot skills are they summon specific to a weapon that's elementally aligned.
Okay, I've seen like the fiery.
There's a fire axe. Elemental. Yeah, you have elementals too, but I seem to always drift towards these weapons, even though like they most of them get me killed, with the exception of this most recent one. But basically, when I summon that spell, it summons one in my hand and one at a specific location that I designate. And with this one, it actually does damage when it hits, which is cool. And then either I can pick it up when I've expended my existing one, or an ally can pick it up and use it.
Oh!
I saw that once.
You've picked that up that one time.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, what is this? I'm going to do fire dashy things. And
yeah, and what's cool about this one, yeah, it does long range. I basically throw fireballs with it at the enemy, or I do a spin attack in one's direction. Don't do it on a small area where there's a big drop, because you will kill yourself. First-hand experience on that one.
I have leaped off of stuff before.
Then there's one that opens a fissure, one where I basically run towards the enemy, leaving a trail of fire behind me, and then a nice AoE that does a lot of damage. The nice thing about this thing is it does a lot of damage, all of them. If I can, you know, get enough time to summon it, because it does take me a little bit of time, and if somebody's beating right on me, it's really hard to not die and do it. But if I can get it summoned and get it everything going, that thing makes me feel like a god. Because it just does a lot of damage really fast.
I've just been reading up on a lot of my stuff in the wiki to kind of hopefully build my character a little better between traits and utility skills. Sort of how we're playing. I don't know, I felt we were being a little bit more efficient the other night when we were playing.
Yeah, I kind of like, I found I do like having my other utilities rather than just signets. Those are quite useful.
I keep one signet.
The haste is nice. It's just like, yeah, I don't know if you noticed, but it's like every once in a while I'd just be like, you know, pew, 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 with my, instead of the normal sort of shoot rate.
I only have one signet, and that's because the passive is increased amount of defense.
Yeah, I have two signets. One, because it's passive, is it removes a debuff every 10 seconds. And the other one, when I activate it, it blinds the enemy.
Oh, I take that back. I do have two, because my heal is a signet. But it's the better of the heals that I got. And it's passive, yeah, every 10 seconds it cures a condition.
Yeah, condition, that's what they're called.
Yeah.
I like having, you know,
conditions that. And boons.
Yeah.
It's really useful if I get hobbled.
My heal is the, whenever I do damage, I regain health.
Yeah, mine, it heals me, and then it does something else depending on what element I'm attuned to. If I'm fire, it gives me more power, I believe. If it's water, if I'm ice, it adds an hot to me. If it's electricity, I actually run faster. And if it is
earth,
it adds some toughness. What do they call it?
Toughness.
It is toughness?
Yeah. Toughness is defense, basically. In this.
Yeah, it adds that if I'm earth when I use it. So a lot of my special abilities, like I have a signet AoE. What the AoE is depends on what I'm attuned to. It also, if I have my elemental summon, that determines what elemental I summon. And each elemental has their bonuses. Like fire, it does a lot of damage. So it's the most damage of any of them. I forget what frost and a lightning does, but they each had their own little special thing to them. And then the rock one, it's just does damage, hard to kill. Let's see you kill a stone.
I have to break it apart. So, I have a hammer!
It is entertaining to... It's entertaining how they do the different classes in this game, I think. I'm still enjoying it, which is nice.
Yeah, I mean, I've been having fun, and it's just kind of trying to tweak things and understand. It's like, it's trying to remember, like, I don't know what it was about. Wow, just to me, sometimes things just seem very... I don't know if it's because I had played for so long and I just knew what to do. It was just like a linear progression that made a lot of sense to me. But with this one, there's so much customization that you kind of reach a point sometimes you're like, what am I doing with this character again? And what should I... I was just getting way off on some stuff because sometimes you're like reading, like, is that beneficial? Do I even have those skills? What are those skills? Like... Especially when you start getting, like, your utilities broken down into the categories. Kind of like meditations, consecrations, spirit weapons. I forget my other level of stuff is shouts. And I mean, some things I don't use very often because I'm like, well, if I was more healy, which a guardian could, oh my gosh, be so super healy with some stuff, I know what to have. But it's kind of like right now I've been using a greatsword a lot and trying to find things that do burning because burning's the only condition damage that I can do as a guardian.
I burn things a lot.
Poison. Poison all the things.
We got good synergy, at least between the two of us. We got a good duo thing going on because, you know, we have similar things. If we lay down fields for combos, we can, you know, play off each other really good.
Combos are something that I've had a heart that I still haven't really grasped.
Basically, you have to have a field. And, like,
certain skills will basically say combo field, and yeah. Then in, like, a damage type, essentially, or something, you know, like, what is there, smoke, dark, poison,
water,
fire, water,
light.
Yeah, I just have to read up on them.
Yeah, because basically, like, for me, I have, like a consecrate that's, like, oh, I can never remember the name of it. But basically, it puts out, like, a ring of fire on the ground, which, when an enemy's in it, causes a little bit of burn damage to them and whatnot. But if you look at your weapon skills, if you have one that says combo finisher, uh-huh. Like this, through that field, you get something. Like, I have, like, Leap of Faith, which is my number 3 slot, my greatsword, which I leap and do a mighty overhead on strike. If I do that through a combo field, like if I put down my own fire, I get fire shield, the fire aura from, you know, doing that. Or
and there's several different types of combo finishers.
Because there's that one. Then
leap, twirl.
Whirl.
Oh, yeah, whirl.
Whirl, projectile, and
there's just like weapon. Isn't there just like weapon or something like that?
I can't remember what the other one is. But like, if I use my number 2 attack, which is my whirling blades in the field, like if he has poison down, I shoot poison bolts out. If I have my fire field down, I shoot fire fields out. If you can sometimes shoot projectiles through a field and get stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be basically if I were to set down a wall of flame and he were to throw something through it, it might be a fiery, it would set itself on fire before it hits the enemy.
Yeah, it would do some sort of fire effect. I have my sword, my symbol of wrath. Is it symbol of wrath and greatsword? Or am I getting, I think so. It puts like a field down which damages enemies inside of it and can help heal, it gives allies retaliation if they do a combo leap finisher through it. I like having fire aura a lot. I picked up stealth the other time because somebody put down a smoke field and I leaped through it and picked up stealth. That was fun.
Cool.
So yeah, I've been told elementalists, actually you can make your own field to do your own stuff a lot through your own fields. Because a lot of your AoEs sometimes are just fields.
I don't think I have the right weapons for that right now because I have like one thing that sits down a field and if it's what I think is field, it's just literally a wall of fire.
Yeah. Because a lot of fields are usually area effects.
Interesting. It's so good to know.
Yeah, because there's achievements for doing combos with people.
And it's really is what makes increasing the effectiveness when you have more than one character is be able to clap with each other's combos.
And like I'm one of the only characters that can put down a light field.
Yeah, which when I do a whirl through that throws out cleansing bolts.
Hmm.
Yeah, cleansing bolt is really good to throw out. I can do that too if I do a whirl through it.
Yeah, because that removes conditions from allies.
That's awesome. Yeah, one thing I'm going to change subjects a little bit here. Stay on the same game, but different kind of subject. One thing I've noticed, you have to be very astute about your locations. Like I was finishing off a Lion's Arch for all the little stuff to discover.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just gotten a vista, and there was this giant lion's mouth cave.
Oh, the shark's mouth cave?
The shark's mouth cave?
Or is it a shark mouth?
Yes.
Was there a ghost pirate?
Yes. That was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Or pirate ghost. I guess it's a pirate ghost, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not a ghost. Not a ghost pirate.
Yeah, the pirate ghost. That
and his zombie first mate at the end.
Oh, the zombie! There was a zombie first mate?
At the very, very end, he was...
After you escape, there's stuff.
Did you get through the whole cave and get the treasure?
I got the treasure, and then I just poured it out because I thought that was it.
Oh.
No, you can go out and there's...
Yeah, there's basically, there's a hole in the wall you just walk through, and then you go up outside, and you're basically really hot, kind of high, but there's a place where you jump off a waterfall. into a pool of water, so you can't. But yeah, his first mate's out there, and he's a zombie, and he has karma gear for sale. With all this different pirate stuff.
Okay, yeah, I didn't find the zombie first mate, because after that point, I'd be like, okay, I think I'm just going. I want to finish doing the rest of this exploration.
Did you figure out how to get through the maze by looking at the stones on the ground that made little arrows?
Yeah,
I didn't. I just kind of was like, I'm gonna follow the left wall until something happens, and I went like whoop through the wall. I was like,
well, there was
interesting.
There was the arrows, and there was me following the pirate ghost guy.
Don't follow him when you're in the maze. He's like, go this way, because I followed him one time. Just like, don't follow him. I'm like, why? You're like, oh.
He doesn't know where he's
going. He doesn't know where he's going. But yeah, that sort of stuff is fun to find when you're like, do-do-do-do-do, exploring. Like, okay, is it Ebon Hawk? Ebon Watch? Ebon Hawk?
Ebon Hawk, I thought.
The city that I currently was been having to do a lot of my personal quest in. I'm all like, do-do-do-do-do, trying to figure out how to get up on this vista. Like, going up these stairs and stuff onto these platforms. And I'm like, I don't think I can get to it from here. I'm just have to go, like, from a side and up. But when I'm there, I hear this organ playing. I'm like, where's this organ music coming from? I'm looking around, I don't see anything. And so I'm, like, jump between roofs and stuff. And I finally get there. And because it stopped playing at some point, when I get in there, there's an organ. And I was like, oh, and I could go up to it and play. It actually said sit and play.
Huh.
And you can actually do different stuff in it, but there's two doors on the side. Well, one of the doors is open, and there's a treasure chest in there, because whoever was there first, whatever they played, opened the door.
Huh.
I don't know where they found them, what to play, but it was still open, and I was like, yoink, treasure!
It's like, I'm not gonna I'm not going to look this gift horse in the mouth.
Yep. I don't know if I've gotten anything decent, I mean...
I know I haven't. I get a lot of stuff that my class can't use.
Yeah, that's why between the two of us, we're like, here, I got this thing that you can use, and oh, I got this thing you can use. Like, Furious
gave me that trident.
Yeah, a yellow trident.
Nice.
It's really nice, because I prefer using the trident underwater versus the spear. Every time I throw out the number one, it bounces off an enemy and hits another person, and it gives them heals.
Nice. Yeah, I can only use a trident underwater. Which, still, that gives me...
Guns.
I get harpoons and spears.
Yeah. 20 different attacks still?
Oh, yeah, because you have your four different attunements.
Yeah. So,
do you ever feel overwhelmed with having so many choices?
Yes. It's like, which one do I actually use? It's like, okay, I guess this one's good for one-on-one, this one's good for enemies... This one, if I had more healing options right now, that would be better for groups. And this other one's also good for groups because, my earth attack right now, basically what it does is individual hits don't do a lot of damage, but it stacks a bleed every time it hits, and I do 3 hits per cast.
Bleed's nice.
So if I get enough on there, it, you know, adds up really fast.
We were killing harpies from his condition poison damage.
Yeah, they would go and do their, like, soar up into the sky where you can't get them thing, and then fall.
Dead. Ah! I hate harpy hunters. They're nasty. Because you start attacking, wailing on them, then they fly off and fly away. But then because basically they do an arc, and usually they go behind you at some point. Then they do their multi-arrow shot, which is, like, 4... Pew, 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 pew. Like, at least 4 hits. Oh my gosh, do not stand in it. It hurts a lot. Like, I can go from full health down to half or less.
I have a weapon that does something like that. I have a ice bow that has a rapid fire thing like that.
Yeah, if you get hit by that barrage and you try dodging, you dodge like the first 2, maybe 3 if you're lucky, but you still get hit with the other ones if you don't dodge immediately again.
And it cripples.
Oh yeah, it cripples.
Or hobbles. Whatever they call it.
That's what I like about having... Usually I try to go with at least having 2 blind effects available, because it makes it at least harder for the enemy to hit me.
Yeah, I rely on that a lot too, because my leap does a blind effect, so if anything's blinded, its next attack will always miss you. Then I also have...
Except for those stupid little mole creatures. The dredge.
Oh yeah, because they're immune to blinds. Because they're already blind.
Blind.
And then I have my Aegis usually out, and so... that, if, you know, if I have Aegis and they hit me, it always blocks. So I always mitigate that damage. So I got like 2 free hits before I get hit if I don't dodge very fast.
Nice.
I get better at dodging. Still not great, but better. I hate it when it's a daily dodge for the day, because then we go and find some...
We find a catapult that we can just, like, go, here it comes, whoop!
I hate daily dodges, too.
Those or drakes that breathe fire at you, because then you can get multiple evades, usually.
Or some spiders. The spiders that spit poison.
Spit poison. Or veterans. It's trying to remember where you find veterans sometimes. You're like, where did I find those veterans?
And it sucks that a champion doesn't count for that.
Yeah, I feel like a champion ought to cap for the veteran killer, considering that they're harder even.
Yeah, I remember that. So I had, it's like, I had one the other day. It's like I needed to kill, I think I had to kill 2 veterans for the daily.
It's 5.
Well, depending on level. The dailies get harder when you level up.
Oh, we've always had to kill 5, you know, do 5 of something, so that's why I've always been like, meh.
Well, I was like looking for a veteran, and finally it's like I'm in the starting zone for the humans. I found a Treeheart veteran. It's like, well, dude, nothing against you, but you have to die now.
Yeah, I always feel bad because I'm like, well, I'm a Silvari, and they're a plant, living plant thing too, and I don't like killing them unless I have to.
Yeah, the other day we took on a champion with just 3 people. It was Chris,
Queen and I, and a hunter.
We died. We all died once, but then the second time we came back, we were able to beat him down.
It was terrible. It was with centaurs, okay? We're an event pops up. We're like, oh, cool. We need some more events for the day. We're going to do this event.
Well, event says, you know, kill veteran, whatever.
Yes, yeah,
like, okay, veteran. No problem. We get over there. It's a champion. We're like...
Oh my gosh. And what keeps happening is with these centaurs, these other centaurs keep spawning like mad on top of it. What was really upsetting is the first time... when the hunter was there, because the hunter had died, so we went and revived him, and we all started doing it. We were doing pretty good, and we had maybe this, I mean, it was a fraction left on the guy's health bar, and we all went down or something. And, of course, you know, there's nothing else to kill, so we were all like, die. So we tried again, and it took several minutes for us to finally get it down, but we did. But then we got the event credit. But I'm like, why is it a freaking champion? Because usually the only time champions appear in events is if you have a lot of group participation.
Or they're called a group event.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got, actually, I was doing one today with a dude. I think we got lucky that we survived that one, because it was a group event and it was just the 2 of us.
Yeah, it's like doing maybe it is a group event, that one where you have to defend the bridge from the centaurs attacking.
Oh yeah, there's so many
centaurs. It's got a whole bunch of centaurs. It spawned tons of veterans, it spawns catapults, and we got a champion that spawned twice during the event.
Ouch.
We did not win that event.
No, we did. The first time we did. Yeah, it just took forever, but we did do it. It's just that we happened to be going back by again, and we got credit for it, even though we never participated in it, and it was failed. But we got credit for it. It's like...
I was thinking the one where there's all the centaurs coming over the bridge to attack the catapult.
Oh, that one. Oh my gosh, that one was stupid. Basically, there's 2 Seraph soldiers who want to attack this encampment because they're up on a hill, and there's 3 catapults, basically, the centaurs control. So you go by and they're like, hey, can you help us assault the centaur camp so we can get the catapults? And we're like, sure. So we assault the camp, we destroy the centaurs. They're like, oh, we need to get some engineers up here so we can fix, you know, some stuff and whatnot. And now this is all going on. We're like, okay, this must be a chain event. There's going to be another thing. Well, we no sooner finish it, you know, no sooner fix everything up. Well, the next part of the chain starts, which is centaurs start assaulting the camp because they want to take back the catapults. Oh my gosh. It says that there's like 8 waves and probably, I thought there was like a boss guy at the end too. The waves consisted of so much stuff that you couldn't even kill the first wave before the second wave came. And so there was at least a dozen or more things and we had to abandon it. So yeah, that sucked. We basically did, what did we do? Like, what do you call it? Thelma Louise moment where we're on the bridge.
No, Butch Cassidy, the Sundance Kid. We're on a bridge. We're on this bridge over a deep ravine with water at the bottom.
And we're all
centaurs like coming at us. We're like, jump.
We did. We literally jumped into the water. We survived, thankfully, because it was deep enough. I did jump off a waterfall one time, and I found the one rock that was slightly placed that I hit, and I died in the water. I'm like, oh my gosh. So then, Furry said, jump. I was like, don't jump where I just jumped, because you will die. Jump a little bit more to the left. So we jumped, and he had to revive me, but it sucked. I was like, darn you. Stupid rock. The one rock I couldn't see when I looked down to make sure, because it was slightly underwater. Okay.
So
we've got a long time, and I don't think we have anything else to talk about.
I just got one question. On the daily heals, do you guys just go to an area where you know a bunch of NPCs are dead?
Yes.
Yes, and I think it actually has to be NPCs. Because I've healed up people before, and it doesn't...
Oh, it doesn't count versus players?
It doesn't seem to.
It doesn't count with players, which is really weird. I think it might count only if they go...
Maybe if they're fully dead. Not just downed.
We haven't been able to figure that one out quite yet.
Well, I guess you two could always test it in all reality.
We have tested it before. I'm like, I'm going to make it kill me.
You could just jump off a cliff that he's already at the bottom of. Or hey, maybe jump off a waterfall and find the one rock.
Or just find something really big and nasty that I know is usually there because nobody goes and does it. Like the sea witch.
Nobody kills that freaking sea witch.
You don't get anything at the end of it, and the only thing that does give you the event, it's not worth doing.
Well, let's go ahead and call it there. We will see everybody next week, and you can see us, you know, the entire spiel. If you don't know it, listen to the last podcast. It's there.
Go to thegameslave.com.
Yes, Twitter, Facebook, website, all of them, The Game Slave.
In the meantime, have a great week and game on.
Game on.
Game on.